As the Israel-Iran conflict intensifies, Bible prophecy leaps off the page. J.D. Williams and David Paxton bring it all together on The Last Christian. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York City. How things going up there, David?
Hello, how are you? Doing pretty good. I'm kind of, I figured I'd step over into Iran, as you can see behind me. That's the Iranian news building that's on fire back there. I don't know if you've seen some of the news that's coming out of Iran.
I have watched quite a bit of it, yes.
It's pretty funny. They're on there like, oh, yes, we have successfully stopped Israel, and instantaneously we will destroy their entire Air Force. And all this other stuff. Oh, yes, and Trump, we will cut off his hand. Sure you will.
The best thing for Iran to do is sit down and shut up.
Meanwhile, the building's burning.
They just need to sit down and shut up, because all they're going to do is get themselves in worse trouble. You know.
Yeah, I guess they're at a point where they can't do anything else, I guess. But anyway, here we are.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but, you know, somebody as a kid saying, you know, well, the very first thing you need to do is, you know, when you're getting yourself in trouble and all that stuff, very first thing you need to do is stop digging. Just stop digging, you know. And that's true. You know, I've mentioned that to a couple of kids and grandkids, and you know they don't seem to understand it right off the top.
You're making it worse.
All right, David, go ahead and pray us into this show. I'll tell people what kind of topics we got today.
Oh, we got some fun topics, here's the real news. Mm-hmm. We are closer than we have ever been in history to the return of Jesus.
Amen.
So praise God.
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time together. We thank you we could share your word. We thank you for those who are listening. And we thank you for those who will come home to be with you just because of this show. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. As I said, I'm going to show you guys the topics real quick. This is just a kind of an overview. We'll probably go way off of this, actually. Weekend recap, Israel and Iran, the warfare enters a new phase. Then you have the strategic threat of the Strait of Hormuz. Humanitarian crises and evacuations. Yeah, there's not really too much of a crisis, but we'll talk about it anyway. And then climate and infrastructure watch. Anyway, I don't know how much of this we're actually going to get into, David, because, you know, it's kind of boring stuff.
We always talk about fun things.
We've got some other stuff that we could do instead, you know. So, anyway, let's look at this one. This is Israel, Iran, and the United States, where the United States has joined in. And over the weekend, U.S. President Trump authorized airstrikes. This was dubbed as Operation Midnight Hammer, and believe me, they got hammered against the Iran's nuclear facilities, striking deeply into underground bunkers. We'll talk about that in a second. Iran's response, which they have now done, President Trump thanked them today for giving him advance notice of a very weak response. Regime in peril. Iran's supreme leader he's moving from bunker to bunker, from basement to basement, trying to stay ahead of Mossad and Israel forces and I'm sure American surveillance, and hoping that he doesn't get killed too quickly, even though he's already started planning out who his successor ought to be. So I don't think he's expecting a long life at this point, David. I think he's kind of resigned to the fact he's going to, you know, he's going to meet Muhammad sooner or later, you know, and I hope he enjoys his time down there. You know, that's all I can say.
I don't know if they're actually meet. I think they're, like, separated.
Yeah,
probably. You can hear him scream from a distance, probably.
Yeah. He's going to get screamed at a lot, this Muhammad character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to get screamed at a lot.
Especially by his wife. So, I don't understand... honestly, how they can continue to go on? How can they live their lives and continue to believe the lies that they believe. They have to know that they're lies.
Yeah,
they have.
I don't get it either. Yeah, I don't get it either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes. Well, I guess
to save face with each other. So they're all trying to save face with each other, and consequently, mm-hmm. they're leading. They're, you know, like lemmings, all running themselves off the ledge into hell.
It's insane. Yeah, it's just crazy. Just totally crazy. You know,
mm-hmm, but
they feel like they've got to do it for whatever reason. So,
did you see the news though? The Iranian news.
What's that? Which one?
It's funny. They get on there. I know you saw one where, you know, they're like telling you how wonderful it is, and then the lady had to run for cover. And then I've seen the other one where they're on there and they actually have a woman on the news show.
Yeah, that's what I saw. Yeah.
And she's on there and they're like, oh yes, we are the Muslims and we're going to win. We've already won and we've destroyed Israel already and we're going to destroy America next. And it's like, did you look outside, folks? Look outside. But I don't know if anyone around the world would actually believe them. Like, could look and say, okay, yeah, I believe them. Now, is it a delusion? Is it just them saying, yeah, let's just, you know, scream what that thing they scream that I'm not going to say?
Yeah, Allah.
Something about bars.
Yeah.
And then somehow that's going to make them win. Like, they just close their eyes. Winning! Winning! Winning!
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right.
I'm just befuddled at this point.
Yeah,
but that
I saw
tells
that,
me the rapture is near, too.
Yeah, I saw that same one, David, that lady, you know, I mean, she was in a full beekeeper suit. I mean, she had the whole thing on,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she had her arms out, and she was talking, and she was really confident. You could tell she was really, really confident in what she was saying right up until the time that missile hit. And, it, you know, as soon as that missile hit upstairs, wherever it was, and, you know, you got all this little paper that's flying around down there, she didn't say, excuse me, I'll be right back. She didn't say, fight, fight, fight. She didn't say any of that stuff, you know. She just turned around, and she was hauling it. You know,
I think it was that building behind me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That their main news center was completely destroyed. You know, and that's it. And I think they had given them advance warning. So you know, that's too bad if they were in there. And
that's,
you know,
why she was ready.
Yeah, yeah. So well, I got a feeling as quick as she turned around and started moving, I got faith in her. I think she made it out the building because I bet you that she was really beating feet by the time she got out this doorway. You know, mm-hmm, if she had any mm-hmm. shoes on, those things were gone. She was on it. I promise you.
Yeah. But then they're going to come back and say, look, I told you we were winning.
Well, you know, we talked about this on the show, the weekend show, and we said, you know, we don't know how long it's going to be before, you know, Trump makes a decision. Was there ever any doubt that he was going to do this, David? Really? I mean, was
we all knew.
Yeah.
They're going in. the minute he said, I'm going to give him 2 weeks, we're like, okay, just watch out. It's coming now.
Well, yeah. I mean, he said he would decide within 2 weeks. You know, so
yeah, well,
they didn't get the they didn't get the within part. They got the it's going to be 2 weeks. And Trump said, no, I only need 2 days. We need to go. We need to go mm-hmm. and clean this up. So, you know. They got hit.
Did you hear anything about the Kremlin coming out? I heard random reports about the Kremlin saying, hey, we're going to, you know, jump into war with Iran. So I didn't know how verifiable that was.
No? I have not heard anything about that. As a matter of fact, what Putin said was that the agreement that they had did not include defensive measures.
In
other words, you know, everything that they signed, which, you know, was supposed to be this great agreement of how we're going to protect each other and all that, it didn't have defense in it. So it only counts, I guess, if they were the ones doing the attacking, you know. And that wasn't in place when they initially attacked Israel, you know. But now they don't have the capability of attacking anybody, from what I understand.
Yeah. Now, I wonder if that was like pre-planned too.
Yeah.
So there's another thing I want to go down as well, but I think that was wise of Putin to, you know, to just conveniently leave out the, oh, by the way, this doesn't mean we're going to come and protect you if you get bombed.
Even though
oops,
it probably
I forgot
says
that part.
Yeah, well, it may even be in there, and he just forgot about it, and it went, well, that was supposed to be taken out. I'm not going to annoy him.
We're best buds. Yeah. Till the death. Yeah. Well, except in case you get bombed. I might not. Hell, maybe that. So you got a couple of things. You want to hit some Bible prophecy before the next topic?
Sure, go ahead.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, number one, could this be the hook that draws Israel down?
I was wondering
that. Draws Russia down?
I was wondering that. You know, Russia has got to leave in order to come back, right? And that's the way I read the scripture. Tell me if I'm wrong here. That he put hook in their jaws and brings them back down is the way that I've always read it. Back down means that they actually left. So
And they've been there. So there's got to be a point where they're somewhere in the neighborhood and then they decide to go back when they pulls them back. So I wonder if that could be, because a lot of people think it has to do with the oil and the riches and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of maybe Iran and their oil, and they gotta, you know, feel like they gotta go protect them, so they gotta go attack Israel.
You know, that's a good point, because Russia's economy is oil, natural gas, and coal. That's really their full economy. And Iran, their full economy is oil. I mean, that's basically it. I mean, think about it for a second. There's no tourism. Nobody wants to go visit.
Yeah, who wants to go there?
You know, there's no tourism. If you're in the army, you might get paid. You know, I guess they'll feed you, I guess. But, I mean, there's not really anything there, you know. So they've got so now we've taken out, we took out all their stuff there, you know, from military. But if they don't listen, then we're going to go in and hit them on the oil thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. You know, that could become an issue. Russia needs that stuff, you know. And Iran has been giving them basically carte blanche to go get it, whatever they want. But now if they don't have it anymore, they need somebody to fix it. Well, Russia can do that, I'm sure, for a price. I don't know. It very well could be a hook, David.
Yeah, we'll see. Here's another one too. I mean, we're always reading Ezekiel 38, and we might be preemptive on some of this.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at this. We'll go 38. Let's start in like 8. And it says, after many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword. So there they are.
Yeah.
In the land, gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but is brought forth out of the nations. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we saw that. Mm-hmm. Israel is brought forth out of the nations from all the other nations.
Right.
And that speaks to like Psalm 82, you know, that war as well. The gods on the mountains, if you would, and the principalities of all the different areas. Just speaks to that. As does Pentecost, by the way. Mm-hmm. Happy Pentecost. Verse 9, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, shall be like a cloud to cover the land, and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus says the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into my mind, thou shalt think an evil thought. Okay, so this is another event that says it come down, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages.
Mm-hmm.
I will go to them that are at rest and dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited. So it's talking about Israel.
Mm.
Okay. And upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. Israel which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, the young lions thereof. So we see this and we often wonder, okay, here's all these lands that we're talking about. I mean, we're even talking about them today. Mm-hmm. So here's something that's very interesting if most people really don't look at it. It says the land of unwalled villages.
Yeah.
They're at rest and they're dwelling safely.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Israel is not at rest right now. No. They have walls all over the place. They're not dwelling safely. And they have bars and gates. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it seems like there's going to come a point, and follow the logic here, where they will be dwelling in safety. And so my postulation is this, that we're seeing all these things happening now, and it's not necessarily Ezekiel 38 yet, even though it comprises some of the same people. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing these things happen, okay? It's going to cause, let's say, you know, something for this man of peace to come. Mm-hmm. Well, that would be the rapture. Right. And then the whole world goes into chaos. They're fighting. So now all of a sudden this man comes and he creates peace. Remember, the Antichrist brings peace for 3.5 years.
Right.
All right. Now, at that point, there would be unwalled villages. Okay. And they will think he's the savior. And they're going to dwell safely and with no bars and no gates. So during that tribulation period, there'll be a portion of it where they think they have peace and safety, because that's what they're going to say.
Okay, so you're saying that scripture about the peace and safety thing,
mm-hmm.
that happens during the tribulation period, during the first 3.5 years. I mean, it's definitely not going to happen in the second 3.5, but...
Right, because it's not until the middle where he says, okay, now he sits in the temple.
Right.
Right. And then at that point, the Jews are going to say, wait a minute, you can't sit in the temple.
Yeah.
You can't sit on the mercy seat. Right. You can't be the abomination of desolation.
Right.
But they have to get to a point where he's there. If he just comes in roaring like a lion, they're not going to let him in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's got to come in. He's got to come pronouncing peace. He's got to come and look like the Messiah. He's the pseudo Christ. He's going to look like the Messiah.
He's got to look credible.
Look, he brought peace.
Yeah, it's got to go. Well, let me ask you this, though, because I think we kind of touched on this maybe once on another show, but we didn't really talk about it too much. And that is, what if they're just thinking about this is going to be peace and safety? You know, okay, I can see what he's doing over here. This is just awesome. And as soon as he gets done with that, then we're going to live in peace and safety forever and ever. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Some people saying that, could that be the peace and safety thing?
Yes, they will say peace and safety, and they're gonna, and it'll get to a point where it appears here that Israel will live in unwalled villages because they believe everything's great now. Because remember, it's the Antichrist; he comes pretending to be the Messiah.
Now, are they praising him? Like he is the Messiah. Okay, because I don't know why I'm having a hard time remembering that part there.
They literally think he is, and so will the whole world.
Okay.
Okay, even the Mahdi is, you know, he's going to come and he's going to pretend to be their savior, too.
Yeah,
In fact, you know, like Joel Richardson talked about, you know, the Islamic Antichrist.
Yeah.
And then people say, well, no, he's got to be Jewish. Well, yeah, he'll probably be Jewish. But he'll also pretend to be on the Muslim side, mm-hmm. and he'll also pretend to be on the Hebrew side, and he'll also pretend to be on the Christian side.
Because he doesn't physically—well, I'm guessing here. Okay, mm-hmm. I hate doing that on the show, but you know, he not necessarily live in Israel or in any of the surrounding.
Well, he
countries.
Could, but that's fine. The Muslims don't mind that. Okay. You know, they'll go along. He'll do something to make everybody think he's.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the Muslims going along with this stuff. I get that. You know, but the one that I'm having trouble with is the Jews. I mean, Jesus didn't convince them, and the Lord knows he did more than anybody else could ever do.
Well, they had, you know, remember Bart Kokba and all that stuff. They had a bunch of them, and the vast majority of them thought they had their messiahs. I mean, I tell you all the time, you drive around Brooklyn over here, they got stickers all over the place. Moshiach is here.
Uh-huh,
you know, yeah. And there's this old Jewish guy with the black hat and the big beard.
Yeah. There's a rabbi that I watch whenever he guests on one of the Fox News shows, and he's really good to listen to. But you know, I always think in my mind, oh man, I wish he would accept Christ, because he's just such a nice guy. You know,
He will. Yeah. Maybe he's one of that one third that gets. You know,
yeah, I hope so.
Who pierced your hands? You did.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I see here. Where, you know, we've always been taught in prophecy world that, you know, it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and Jesus is going to come and save us out of this. Yeah. Well, here's the thing: when the rapture happens, obviously it's going to cause major chaos around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the Jews are going to be looking for the Messiah. They are now. It's like, oh, he's here. You know, the Muslims will be rejoicing that all those pesky Christians are gone. All the New Age people will be like, see, we told you it's the aliens. And they took off the people that don't think right, and they're going to re-educate them. And so they're all going to think this was some event that fits their belief pattern.
Yeah.
Because that's how he's going to design it. And you got to remember, Satan's pretty smart. He's not powerful at all, but he's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to do all these things to trick people, because he can't just come in and force you. So he's got to trick people into doing stuff that he wants.
Yeah.
So he will come, and he will present this picture of peace. Remember the white horse?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How does he conquer the world? Well, he comes as a white horse. He's coming as a Messiah, and he has a bow.
Yeah.
What was the bow? And, you know, in the Old Testament, was the promise. The promise of we're not going to destroy the earth anymore. He comes with his promise of peace, okay? And that's how he conquers. So he's going to conquer the world. In other words, he's going to take rulership over the world. Mm-hmm. You want to know King's Day, okay? That's the one you should be working
on. That's the one, that's the one you ought to do.
Because that's the fake king.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at this, David, because we've kind of already gone down this path, but we'll put it up here as the strategic threat, the Strait of Hormuz. The parliament votes for closure. That's Iran's parliament. Authorized the closing of the Strait of Hormuz should tensions escalate, and that's a move that could choke off up to 20% of the global oil supply. Then you've got a market watch. Over the weekend, two tankers collide in the strait, underscoring navigation hazards. Oil prices rose and volatility surged across the Gulf equities and maritime insurance. And that's all, of course, because all Iran's doing is talking about closing the Strait of Hormuz. They haven't actually done it yet.
Do they even have the capability?
They do. They do. And the Houthis,
why can't we just
go
in and say, oh, we're going to blow up your ship? Now get out of the way.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what they really ought to do. I haven't seen them do that much. But what happened the last time was the Houthis went out there and they mined the Gulf, you know. Mm. So, you know, you got to go in there and you have to get people to go down and do the scuba diving or whatever, you know, to get
the if they can have bunker busters that they can launch from North Carolina and they travel all the way over to Iran and hit them in their bedroom window, that probably could find those mines.
Yeah, I think so too. But anyway, that seems to be a big deal for them, and it is, because you know you've got more than just United States vessels. You know, they're not too interested in doing anything with U.S. vessels right now. It's too scary for them because they don't know what Trump's going to do. You know, he might come in and smack them down like a. They were little flies in the fly swatter, you know? So they've got to be careful with that. But there's other country ships. You know, these countries don't have a chance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They've got no army or navy or anything, really. And and Iran's bigger and badder than they are. But right now, even Iran is crippled, David. I mean, the United States did some serious damage on Iran. They really did. You know, and Israel had already started that damage, and they had done significant damage to them, too. So Iran is not going to be a major player, I don't think, coming through this.
We'll give it back to the good Iranian people, the Christian ones.
Let's hope, yeah. Because I saw the, and we mentioned him, too, on the last show. We even played a soundbite from him, the crown prince, supposedly next in line there. You know, he wants to go back, but, you know, the country has to want him. And, you know, all of the propaganda media right now is playing for the, you know, for the Ayatollah. You know, they're not letting any of that stuff
come in. I don't know how anybody can know that. Trust me, they can get it. If we could get Telegram, they can get it.
Without a doubt. I mean, they're getting the info, you know. I'm just waiting on it to... You remember when they took over? You remember all of the all of the riots and all that stuff that were going on there? And I think they're going to have to get to that point. Maybe they can get with the organizers here of the No Kings Day, and maybe those guys can go over there and...
Give them a couple $100 a day.
Yeah, teach them how to pay people to riot and everything, you know? Yeah.
So I'm thinking this as well. We have oil.
Yes,
why are we even concerned about, you close your Gulf? I don't care. We've got more oil than you anyway. And then we'll sell it to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I think
it's your oil here. Oil
I think it's
here.
The ramifications of the closure. You know, what kind of goods are blocked, you know, or not being able to be transported because that's closed. You know, that's really where it adds up to the cash. And America, I guess, I mean, we've got like two or three carrier groups over there. Good grief. I mean, how many carrier groups do we need for this little country? I mean, they're nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if we wanted to smoke them, we could do that really quick and easy, you know. I mean, if they really want to live in sand, well, we could give them plenty of sand to live in, you know, and nothing flat. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just glad to see them kind of put back in their place because they've been running hard since they took over that country in 79, and they have destroyed it and destroyed the will of their people at the same time. Okay, David, we're coming down here to the last of the first half of the show. You can take us out of that, and then we'll talk about what we're going to do in the second half.
Yeah. So in the second half, it's going to be fun. We're going to get into some scriptures as to why you would receive Christ now. But we don't have time to get into it. We only got a couple seconds left. So Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support The Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams in Texas, and it's Mr. David Paxton in New York. David, let me look here. I've got, let's look at this one, humanitarian crisis.
You got a good one?
I don't know about all that. But anyway, this, again, you know, all of this is still because of Iran. You know, I mean, you don't really realize how much news there is tied to one country until something like the attack happened, and then all media turns to it right away. But anyway, mass exodus, hundreds of thousands are fleeing Tehran. If you have not seen pictures of it, I'll try to remember to get cue one up on Saturday. But, I mean, you're looking at huge lines of cars that are bumper to bumper trying to get out of there. Because they believe Trump. I don't know if they believe what Iran's feeding them or not, but they believe Trump. So you got gas shortages, and they're overwhelmed. Highways, basic supply, disruptions are added there. The U.S. evacuation push, nearly 8,000 Americans have requested evacuation from Iran and Israel. Triggering expanded State Department missions and travel warnings throughout the Middle East. If I was in Israel, I don't think I'd worry about it too much. But if I was in Iran, I worried about it a lot. You know, I'd want to get out of there.
I would do it just to say that I had to have the army come and rescue me.
That's pretty cool too. Yeah, I got saved off a barge one time. You know, there's a fishing barge. And we were fishing, and storms came rolling through, and it knocked out the walkway between the shore and where we were at on this barge. Okay. Yeah, it was really cool. So the fire department had to come. They had to put down a temporary bridge and, you know, helped everybody off. That was pretty cool, you know. That was prior to where they run TV people out all the time, you know, something going on. Because
we build the whole bridge and everything.
Here's
a life raft. Jump in the water.
We were there a long time, and they, you know, there wasn't any TV trucks or anything around there, but we got rescued off once. Okay.
There you go.
So, anyway, what do you think of the state of the Strait of Hormuz? I mean, as I understand it, again, you got a lot of fuel comes through there, but there's a lot of food stuffs, David, that are transported through there as well. So, I mean, it's kind of a big deal. Do you think the United States would let them keep that closed, or do you think we would take it out?
You know what? There's always something, right? He's always keeping his cards close to his chest, you know, especially with the squad over there in the Democratville. So you never know what's going to happen next, but if we're thinking about it, I can guarantee you that they're thinking about it. When you Bongino and Hedseth and all those people, and then, you know, they're like, yeah, let's do this. Right. But, the Strait is, they're going to use it to try and wield some kind of power.
Yeah, without a doubt.
The problem is this, you know, we have air power today. It's not about the ships anymore. And, you know, Elam, you know, we know Jeremiah 49, we read all the time. It says he will break the bow of Elam, their chief and might. Matter of fact, let's even read it. Jeremiah 49:34.
Okay.
See if it says anything about, you know, any waterways over there.
Okay.
Let me see. And there are camels. Oh, lots of camels. Okay. Let me see. Concerning Kedar and the kingdom of Hazar, Nebuchadnezzar, blah, 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 run away. Hazar would become a haunt of jackals. 34. That which came to the Lord Jeremiah, the prophet, concerning Elam at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I'm going to break the bow of Elam, the finest of their might. Oh, so he's going to break everything. The biggest stuff they got, he's going to break it.
Okay.
I will bring upon Elam the four winds from the four ends of heaven. Whoa. And will scatter them to all these winds. And there will be no nation to which the outcasts of Elam will not go. Wow, I don't think many people read that part.
No.
So he's going to bust them up, and they're going to be all over the world.
Uh-huh.
I will shatter Elam before their enemies and before those who seek their lives and bring calamity upon them, even in my fierce anger, declares the Lord, and I will send out the sword after them until I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam and destroy out of it kings and princes, declares the Lord. But it will come in the last days that I will restore the fortunes of Elam, declares the Lord. So there's your Iranian people. He's going to bust them up.
Yep.
He's going to destroy the regime, scatter them to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then the good Persian people that are having dreams about Jesus now is going to restore their fortunes.
Okay.
Cool. It reminds me, I saw this joke today, if you want to hear it. It was pretty
sure.
Good. He says the Ayatollah and the Trump, they got to talking on the phone, and the Ayatollah says, oh, I had a dream last night that there was big destruction and we destroyed America and the bombs going off all over the place. And he said, and then Trump says, well, that's funny, I had a dream too, and Iran, you know, was a wonderful lavish place, and there was, you know, buildings all over the place, and it was all built up and big beautiful signs everywhere. And he says, oh, that's interesting, what did the signs say? And Trump says, I don't know, I can't read Hebrew.
Yeah, yeah, Hebrew, Hebrew. Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I got it.
So anyway, so there's that.
Yeah.
So the word of the Lord spoken concerning Babylon now, too, through Jeremiah the prophet. So we talked about Elam. He's going to restore them in the end of days. So we pray for the Iranian people.
Yeah.
That they will continue to receive Christ.
Did it say anything else about Damascus? You got my attention when you said Damascus.
Oh, it's Isaiah 17.
Okay, so it is in 17. Is that where you're at?
Yeah, that's Isaiah 17. Let me see. And okay. Then Jeremiah 49:23. As concerning Damascus, Hamath and Arpad are put to shame. They have heard bad news. They are disheartened and anxiety by the sea. It cannot be calmed. Damascus has become helpless. She has turned away to flee, and panic has gripped her. Distress and pangs have taken hold of her like a woman in childbirth. How the city of praise has not been deserted, my town of joy. Therefore, her young men will fall in the streets, and all the men of war will be silenced in that day, declares the Lord of hosts. I will set fire to the wall of Damascus and will devour the fortified towers of Ben-Hadad. So that's Damascus.
Yeah.
I don't know who Ben-Hadad is, but sounds like a Batman thing.
Yeah. I just know that they're in for a bad day, you know, when that happens.
It seems like, you know, the Lord's gonna basically pour out his destruction, but it's got two purposes. It will destroy the evil people, but it will also lead a lot of people to repentance, and so he can restore the goodness to them. So it's like kind of out of his mercy, he sends a destruction. And they're talking about Nebuchadnezzar.
That's incredible stuff. Yeah.
So Cyrus, remember Cyrus?
Yes. Okay. What did he do?
So, well, where did he go? So Cyrus, and let me see, in Ezra, the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon. I'm in Ezra 5:13.
Okay.
But the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, the same King Cyrus made a decree to build the house of God. Now, remember, this dude, Cyrus, Daniel came. So this is about the same time period. Daniel came and said, look, you know, they wrote about you, and the Lord wrote about you in the Bible. And he's like, what? This was like 100 years ago. How is this? So he's like, okay, I'll do it. So that's what it was. He was called. And he was also called... you know, the acts of God. What is it called? And where is it? Comparisons between the battle axe. The battle axe of God. You are my battle axe in Jeremiah 51:20, and weapon of war. I will break into pieces the nations and I will destroy kingdoms. Cyrus not only crushed Israel's enemies, but issued the edict to rebuild the second temple. So he rebuilt the second temple, okay? All right, and that's what Trump has done. He issued stuff to rebuild their temple way back in 2017. Remember that?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So that was fun and exciting. And then because they're rebuilding the temple, they're making the half shekel for the temple tax.
And they printed one,
and they have Trump on it right in front of Cyrus, King Cyrus.
And you got one of these things, right?
Right there.
Right there. Hold on, David. I'm gonna let everybody see it real good.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. I like that a lot.
The Balfour Declaration from 1917 to 2017.
Uh-huh.
They've got a temple coin, and there's Trump and Cyrus. And the half shekels on the back here.
Half shekel, huh?
All you who can read Hebrew.
Yeah, that's not me. But that's cool. That's a cool coin, though.
Yeah, so this is an actual pewter, I think. Some silver in it.
Yeah.
But they make it worth a half a shekel.
Okay.
Because that's a temple tax. But I'm just going to keep it just for the prophetic stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's something else. I wanted to talk to you about this temple tax thing. I don't watch it anymore. Again, this is back from my BC days. Watching Larry David on HBO. When they went to the temple, or whatever they call it.
Yeah, the synagogues, yep.
Synagogue, yeah. They were talking about how they had to pay to get in. They had to buy a ticket. They had to buy a ticket to get in to the thing. And then there's all these taxes. Now, I know, for Mormons, I know they come to your house and tell you how much money that you're supposed to give based on whatever your income is. Do they do that with the Jews too? Are they forced to?
God wanted to make it equal, so everyone pays the same.
Yeah.
So there's one that is a percentage of your income, but then there's another one. It's the same across the board, and that's actually where we got the idea for the Senate versus the House of Representatives.
Okay.
You know, the Senate has every state has two, whereas the House of Representatives, it's compared to how many people you got.
Yeah, like Alaska's got one.
That's it.
One.
Here's a side note, too, is when Trump deports all the illegals out of California, they're actually going to lose 3 seats.
Yeah, at least.
That's why they want all the people in there. It's funny, but it's true. They're going to lose
it.
So... there's that.
Yeah.
But that's just all the juggling. Politics makes strange bedfellows.
Yeah. I just never got to, to tell you how much you've got to spend. I mean, that sounds like you're buying entertainment or something, you know. And I didn't.
Well, yeah, it's not entertainment. The idea with the temple is, it was a place for worship, but they had to take care of the priests. Remember the Levites? They didn't get any land.
Right. Yeah.
They didn't get an inheritance. So everyone else had to bring the inheritance, and it's okay. They brought the meat, they brought the food, and they brought money, because that's the only way they would survive.
Yeah, how do they survive
They were required to do that. They had nope. This is what you're going to do.
Okay, Levites are they're the ones that don't get. I mean, they don't get to be anything special or whatever, but they got to rely on everybody else to feed them and stuff, right?
Yep. And okay. Well, they're the priests. Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a Levite. Because
have to take care of the temple.
Yeah, well, what happened to them after the temple's gone? How do they survive now?
Well, they change it. There's all sorts of names. You got Levi, Levin, anything with the L-E-V, and it's pretty much a descendant of Levi. Okay. And it kind of just got diluted when the temple was gone in A.D. 70.
Okay.
They didn't know what to do. There was no place to do the sacrifices anymore. So now their sacrifice is doing good works. They made up, and that's where we get the whole Talmudic Judaism stuff that we have today. It's got nothing to do with the Old Testament. They just made up new rituals. It's all, you know, people think, oh, you got the Judaic calendar. Mm. No, that's no. That's not ancient Hebrew.
Okay.
They made it all up to because they didn't know what to do, because the Azazel goat never came back.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, speaking of never come back, let's look at this one here. Take a look at this thing. Climate and infrastructure watch. Record heat in Europe. Next time Mark's on, we can ask him about it, I guess. Last Saturday marked 2025's hottest day so far in the UK, surpassing 33 degrees Celsius. And Spain and France cracked into the low 40s, affirming the ongoing rise in extreme heat. Now, I don't know what this Celsius is all about, but 33 seems kind of high to me. I know what the temperature over here is, you know, and we talked about it off camera. You know, we're both in the 90s right now. Flood risk in China and Mexico. You got early monsoon rains triggered severe flooding in China and Mexico, straining aging flood defenses and threatening their food supplies. And then upcoming UN Climate Week, that's countries and businesses are preparing for the UNFCCC Climate Weeks, steering efforts toward COP30 in Balaam. And I wish they would find a cop and get rid of all these tree huggers.
30 of them.
Yeah.
All right, here, I got my app on the phone. So 33 degrees is only 91.5 degrees here.
And they're freaking hot out about that. Okay, well, yeah. We get that all the time.
40 Celsius is only like 104. I mean, yeah, it's hot, but that's... Yeah. Yeah, if it was hot, if it was like that for several days in a row, I'd think, okay, yeah, now you got to eat weight. But I mean, it regularly gets up in the 120s out by you places, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're used to hot temperatures. You know, I mean, we talk about, you know, I say trips because I know we're going to the 100s sooner or later. Usually, late July and August is where it normally hits at. But we had such a mild winter. I'm thinking we'll probably be up in the trips by next week. I mean, cause, you know, it's, who knows what it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, we hit the low 90s for a couple of days here in New York, and all of a sudden it says, oh, my God, it's a heat wave. What are we going to do? And I'm like, dude, I remember we've hit over 100 for several days in a row back when I was a kid, and people are like, oh, yeah, it's hot. But it's all the ruse. They want to convince people that the earth is warming up when it's actually cooler than it was. The 1930s was way hotter than we've had so far in our 2020s.
Yeah. Well, what was it? They didn't call it climate change at first. What did they call it?
They call it global warming.
Global warming. That was it. Yeah, everything was going to get hot, and then it flipped. And, okay, now it's going to get cold. And, yep. You know, whatever it is, well, they take the opposite of it every time.
Well, I remember when I was little, they said, you know, every ad, you look up Time Magazine and all the cold stuff. Mm-hmm. And it has all the next ice age is coming. They got people in their living room and they're watching TV and they're all frozen. You know, and then all of a sudden we get those heat waves and like, I don't know. But that was it. We were heading for the next ice age.
Yeah.
Now we're heading for the next global warming and yeah, nothing ever happens.
People here don't believe in it, you know, and this global warming stuff.
I mean, there's nothing to even contemplate. There's nothing to even consider because it's just ridiculous. They just make crap up and go with it. That's it. So that's getting boring talking about this. I mean, it's day after day. I never thought I'd say, hey, it gets boring talking about the world events and how they're leading for prophecy, right? But it's come to that point.
Well, okay, I'm going to date us here, okay? But if you guys think that we are doing this live, we're not, okay? I've had some medical issues. That's one reason for it. But anyway, the reason I'm going through all that rigmarole there is to let you know that Trump is announcing Israel and Iran ceasefire. So whenever the, you know,
now.
Yeah, so that tells you guys that we're doing this on a Monday, because mm-hmm. otherwise, you know, we wouldn't be saying that he did this today. But anyway, he is announcing as we speak a Israel and Iran ceasefire. So
you mean an Iran ceasefire? Because
yeah,
I mean, Israel ceasefire because Iran doesn't have any weapons.
Yeah, Iran's basically out of gas at this point. You know, I thought it was kind of funny because of the fact that they were talking about how they were going to have this massive response, and then
it'll be remembered in history for the next 100 years.
And then they got these people that are standing there, and they're in Israel, and they said, "Yeah, you know." The other day, there was like 500 rockets and, you know, 500 rockets and ballistic missiles fired at us. And then yesterday was like 30 or something, you know. And
mm-hmm. Now they're running out.
And today, there's been one. There was one that came, you know. So, they're running way low on explosives and stuff.
Yeah, they blew them all up. Well, I think they didn't even go after the missiles as much as the launchers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So they had to launch
at
birth, which is a better idea, I think, because they can continue to make more missiles. But you blow up all the launchers, you have all the missiles you want, and you can't launch them.
Be like the little kid, stick it on a stick and, you know, try to light it.
Like a bottle rocket.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to talk crazy. About, I mean, we see all these things coming. We know the Lord's just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But have you people ever considered the Book of Life? We talk about contracts often on here, mm-hmm. and everything's stored in a book.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this Book of Life's important, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's life. And just like the tree of life, that's basically your existence, and that's mm-hmm. that's pretty cool. So I wanted to read some verses about, you know, being written in the Book of Life. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. You ever heard of Revelation?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, in 13:8, it says, "And all who dwell on the eight." Now, keep in mind, this is where the mark of the beast was just in. Whatever that word is, forced. And all who dwell on the earth, this is 13:8, all who dwell on the earth will worship the beast, and everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. Uh-huh. So that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Okay. That means if the... Does what we do affect eternity, or does eternity, you know, give us, okay, were you predestined to this?
See, now that's the thing, David, you hit something now that has mm-hmm. confused me forever. Okay. And I still don't get it. Okay. Look, I understand that God knows everything. I understand mm-hmm. that. I understand that he knew me before I was born and before there was an earth. I understand that. I accept it. No, well, when I say I understand it, no, I don't understand that. I accept that, but I do not understand it. And I also do not understand this, you know, the book of life thing. You know, you're in it or you're not. And I don't know. I got a whole bunch of I don't knows in this discussion here that we're having now. Okay? Because I don't know. So teach me.
Okay.
I don't
well,
get it.
Here's what we're going to do to look at this one. And okay. It's probably serendipitous that we brought this up. Where we talk often about the Textus Receptus, right? The received text versus the Nestle's and text, correct?
Yes. I'm with
all you. Right. So if you read this in the King James, it says in the book of life of the Lamb, who was slain from the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As opposed to the written in the book from the foundation of the world.
Okay.
So from the foundation of the world was emphasizing from the life of, you know, the Lamb that was slain.
Okay.
As opposed to, let me see here.
Yeah, I mean, my question is more in the destiny thing. You know, are you destined to be a Christian or not?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you read that and you take Nestle's tried to twist that around.
Okay.
And Nestle's tried to do the whole Calvinistic kind of a thing. Oh, you're either chosen to be saved or you're not, so it doesn't matter. Just do what you're doing. Because if you were chosen to be saved, you just go sin the rest of your life and it doesn't matter. So who cares? But then if you weren't chosen to be saved, it doesn't matter how good you were, so you might as well just go, you know, screw up your whole life. So either one of those says go and sin all you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's probably not right.
No, I don't buy that stuff.
All right, but all of that stuff and all of the modern translations kind of lean in that direction with a lot of these verses, and this is one of them.
Okay.
You know, it specifically says, you know, and the King James says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Okay.
Where the other version said, like the ESV that we read already, said, and all who dwell on the earth will worship, and everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb that was slain. You see the difference? Okay.
Okay.
So if I'm going to do that, I'm going to lean toward the received text, because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they were all agnostics that changed the text around and made it the Nestle's, and Escart, Hort, all those people. Okay. Westcott and Hort, I mean, and then yeah, they claim to be scholars, but they're not. But this is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And go back to our first Genesis teaching and you'll see what I mean by that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, your name could be written in a Lamb's book of life, and he was slain from the foundation of the world, so your name could be written in there.
Amen.
I would admonish you to do that, because there is a book and it does have names, and he's going to open the books and then he's going to look at them and say, is your name in the book? And in Ephesians, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, again, another one from the ESV, it basically says we were in the book, and he knew that. He foreknew us. So that only comes down to whether you receive him. So I admonish you to receive him today, and we'll look forward to seeing you guys in heaven. You have a blessed day.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.